Hare Krishna. So today on the anniversary of Srila Advaita Acharya's appearance in this world more than 500 years ago, 550 years ago, we will begin by briefly talking about who he actually is. The technical word for it is ontology. Ontology means to understand the reality of existence. Who is Advaita Acharya? Why do we worship him so much? Why is he so important for us? We all know that there is the Panchatattva, the five principles of the Absolute Truth. Krishna has manifested himself in these five forms for propagating love of Godhead. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupasvarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktishaktikam. So Kaviraj Goswami, in his Mangalacharan prayers in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Adi Leela, has also quoted this verse in which he describes the five aspects of the Absolute Truth, the five forms in which Krishna manifests himself. The first is Bhakta Rupa. Krishna, who has come in the form of his own devotee. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Svarupakam, Bhakta Svarupa, the expansion of the Lord who has come as a devotee. That's Lord Nityananda. Bhakta Avataram, Bhakta Avatar, the incarnation of the Lord who has come as a bhakta, as a devotee. Bhaktakhyam, then there is a devotee of the Lord, that is Srivas Thakur. And Bhakta Shaktikam, the energy of the Lord, that is Gadadhar Pandit. So these are the five principles, the five tattvas, the pancha tattva. And together they spread love of Godhead everywhere. And they are very merciful. It is only by invoking and requesting their mercy that we can actually obtain Radha Krishna. Therefore, before we chant the holy names of Radha Krishna in the form of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we first chant the Panchatattva Mantra. Srila Advaita Acharya is the Bhakta Avatara. He is the incarnation of the Lord who has come in the guise of a devotee. Kaviraj Goswami explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that of the five elements of the Panchatattva, three are Prabhus. The other two are not Prabhus. Srivas Thakur is the principle of the devotee. He is actually Narad Muni. And Gadadhar Pandit represents the halo of Srimati Radharani. So he is Shakti, not Shaktiman. He is not the Supreme Lord, but he is the energy of the Supreme Lord, the spiritual energy. So both Srivas Thakur, the Bhakta and the Bhakti Shakti, are in the category of energy, spiritual energy. And the first three are in the category of Prabhu. There is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is Nityananda Prabhu, and there is Advaita Acharya. But of the three, Kaviraj Goswami explains, one is Mahaprabhu and the other two are Prabhu. So ontologically, they are all in the same category of being the Lord. They are God. All three are God. They are Vishnu Tattva or Prabhu Tattva. But among them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is special because he is Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, the great Prabhu, because he is the origin of everyone else. As we know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Avatari Krishna. He is not Avatar. He is directly Krishna. He is not an expansion of Krishna. So Mahaprabhu is special. And the other two, even though they are in the category of the Supreme Lord, they have appeared to serve this Mahaprabhu. So both Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya have advented to serve the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even though Mahaprabhu doesn't like to accept service from them, he considers them to be his superior personalities because they are older in age than him. They still like to worship him as a Supreme Lord. So Advaita Acharya, being the Lord himself, has come here as a devotee, and because a devotee is very merciful, we need his mercy before we can understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. So we just sung the bhajan, Daya Koro Sitapati Advaita Gosai, Tava Kripa Bale Pai Chaitanya Nitai. Please have mercy upon me, O Lord of Sita. Advaita Acharya's wife is called Sita, Sita Devi. O Advaita Gosai, please have mercy on me, because it is by your mercy alone that one can approach Chaitanya and Nitai. So even though Advaita Acharya is the Lord, he never plays the Lord. He never plays a role of the Supreme Lord. He always relishes the role of a devotee. And he's actually one of the main external reasons for the advent of Mahaprabhu. When he saw that the world was filled with the darkness of atheism, materialism, a distorted idea of religion, then he understood that I am a partial incarnation of the Lord, but even I can't do anything about this. So it needs not a partial incarnation of the Lord, but it needs the Lord directly to come. The full form of the Lord, the original avatari form of the Lord to come and actually bestow love of God upon everyone. Even I am incapable of doing it. This was the internal sentiment of Advaita Acharya. So then he very fervently petitioned the Lord. He worshipped his Shaligram Shila and offered tulsi buds and Ganges water and said, please incarnate. And he would roar in love. So the Acharyas explained, Prem Hunkar. Hunkar means a roar. Prem means love. So he would roar with love, petitioning the Lord to advent himself for the sake of the conditioned souls. And he would chant many nice verses from the scriptures, glorifying the Lord and his mercy. For example, he chanted this famous verse, Tulasi dalamatrena jalasya chulukenava vikrinite svamatmanam bhaktibhyo bhaktavatsalaha. The meaning of this verse is, it's a verse from the Puranas actually. It says that if you just offer the Supreme Lord tulasi dala, just a leaf or a bud or a manjari of tulasi, and a little water from the Ganga or the Yamuna in the palm of your hand, and if you offer that with devotion, then the Lord is so pleased that he sells himself to his devotee. Vikrinite svam atmanam bhaktebhyaha, to his devotees, because he is bhaktavatsala. The devotees are very dear to him. He is very affectionate to his devotees. So when the devotees offer him a few leaves of the tulasi plant and some water, he sells himself to them. So Advaita Acharya was trying to invoke the Lord's mercy. You are very merciful, so you must come now to deliver all the fallen conditioned souls. So Advaita Acharya, as we read in this verse, is actually an incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. Kaviraj Goswami also says that he is called Advaita because he is non-different from Hari. Advaita means one. It also means non-different. So because he is non-different from Hari, he is called Advaita. Of course, the word Advaita generally also refers to the Mayavadi school. They call Advaitavadis, the impersonalists. But that's the word Advaita used in a different sense. Because they say that everything is one. You are God, I am God. You are one with God, I am one with God. In fact, you are God, I am God. So because they say that everything is one with God, everything is God, therefore their philosophy is Advaita. But it is not the sense in which the Acharya here has been called Advaita. He is called Advaita because he is not different from the Lord himself. He is the Lord. And then also because he propagates the cult of pure devotional service, he is called the Acharya. And he is also the Supreme Lord, Isham, and he is the Bhakta Avatar. He has come here to teach us how to perform devotional service. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned one time Mahaprabhu began to glorify Advaita Acharya. And he said, Advaita Acharya is God himself. But he has come to propagate the cult of devotion. There is no one equal to him in terms of scholarship and also in terms of devotion to Krishna. So therefore, I worship this Advaita Acharya, by whose mercy even mlechhas can become devotees of Krishna. So Mahaprabhu himself glorified Advaita Acharya both as a Supreme Lord and also as a devotee. Now this principle of Advaita Acharya being an incarnation of Mahavishnu is interesting from a philosophical point of view. So we'll just mention a few words about that. In the sixth chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami has elaborated on that. And Srila Prabhupada gives very long and deep purports to that, quoting from Baladev Vidyabhushana. Now you see, there are a certain class of atheistic philosophers who say that there is no God. They say that matter or the material nature is the cause of everything. The material as well as the efficient cause of everything. But Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the example of a woman giving birth to a child to indicate that material nature, which is Prakriti, is not independent in creating all the living entities in this world. A mother serves two functions. One is, she is the accommodating principle for the child. The child grows in her womb, so there is space within her womb in which the child grows, and eventually at the right time, she gives birth to the child. So in that aspect, you could say that she is the efficient cause of the child. And there's another function the mother performs. That is, the body of the child is created out of the materials generated from the mother's body. So she provides the ingredients from which the child's body is created. So in that sense, she is the material cause of the child. So as the efficient cause or the effective cause, she provides a space for the child and she gives birth to the child. As a material cause, she provides the ingredients to create the body of the child. So therefore, the mother can be considered the efficient and material cause of the child. But is she really the complete cause of the child? So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, no, that behind the mother, there must be a father. Unless there is a father, the mother cannot become the efficient and material cause of the child. There will be no child. So the father is the remote cause, or he is the ultimate cause of the child. Similarly, the Acharyas have explained that material nature or Prakriti is the mother of all living entities in this material world. And therefore she serves both causes. She is the efficient cause of this world and she is also the material cause. I beg your pardon, the material cause of this world. So material energy acts in two ways, acts has two functions. As the efficient cause, she is called Maya, Nimitta. The Sanskrit word is Nimitta Karan. She is the efficient cause of this creation. And as the material cause, she is called Pradhana. She is called Upadana Karan. So corresponding to these two, now of course behind Prakriti there is a Purusha, the Supreme Lord, who is Mahavishnu. Without Mahavishnu, Prakriti cannot generate the different living entities of this world. Nothing can happen without the Purusha. So just as there is a father who is behind the mother, similarly there is a Purusha, or the Supreme Lord Mahavishnu, behind the creation, behind the material energy. And just as material energy has two aspects, the efficient cause of Maya and the material cause as Pradhan, the Supreme Lord Mahavishnu also manifests himself in two functions. Corresponding to the efficient cause of Maya, Mahavishnu acts as Mahavishnu. He glances on the creation and agitates everything. So that is Mahavishnu. But he also has a second identity that corresponds to the function of Maya as a material cause of creation, Upadana Karan. And in that form, as Rudra or Shiva, he is called Advaita. So Advaita Acharya, the ontological principle of Advaita is that he is that aspect of Mahavishnu that is actually the material cause of the entire creation. And he's also non-different from Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva, as you know, is the husband of Durga, who is material nature. So Lord Advaita Acharya is simultaneously an expansion, ansha, a plenary portion of Mahavishnu, and also a form of Lord Shiva, Lord Sadashiva. I know it's getting a little complicated, but it's important to just say it because we don't hear these things normally. So for those who are a little more philosophically inclined, and for the sake of the record, you know, we have to say this is what Advaita Acharya is. He is actually incarnation of Mahavishnu and also of Lord Shiva. In Vrindavan, of course, Lord Shiva plays such an important role. He is the guardian of the Dham. He is Dikpal in Vrindavan and Mayapur. Lord Shiva, being an exalted Vaishnava, likes to protect the Dham. He doesn't allow unqualified people to enter into the holy abode. And in Vrindavan, he was so fascinated by the dealings of Krishna with the gopis in the Rasa Leela that he also wanted to become a gopi. And eventually, he wanted to enter, but he was told that you have to become a gopi to enter. So he became Gopeshwar Mahadev. So Lord Shiva is present in Vrindavan in that capacity, as Dikpal and also as Gopeshwar Mahadev. As Gopeshwar Mahadev, he checks who enters into the Rasa Leela. Only the qualified people can enter in. But the scripture called the Gauda Ganodesha Deepika of Kavi Karnapur explains that Lord Shiva exists in Krishna Leela, also in another form. That is a cowherd boy. One time, Lord Shiva in Vrindavan saw Krishna and Balaram and the other cowherd boys dancing and frolicking together. And he developed the desire to also be a cowherd boy. So he also assumed the form of a cowherd boy and began dancing with Krishna and Balaram and all the other boys. So it explains that that same Lord Shiva, who came as a cowherd boy, is now come as Advaita Acharya. That's another identity of Advaita. These are all fascinating things. The subject of Godhead can sometimes be bewildering. We can't really accommodate all these things in our mind. How is it that we have so many simultaneous identities and so many things like this? But if we just hear patiently and faithfully, eventually these things will be revealed the truer and deep understanding of these things will be revealed. So that's enough about the ontology. Let's get on to some more pastimes which are easier to handle in our mind. So, because when the Supreme Lord comes, he enters into human society, so he plays the role of an ordinary human being. So Advaita Acharya also appeared to be born. He appeared in a village called Navagram near Silhet, which is in present-day Bangladesh. His father's name was Kuber Pandit. His mother's name was Nabha Devi. And Kuber Pandit, according to the Gauda Ganodesha Deepika, is Kuber, the treasurer of the demigods, who is a close associate of Lord Shiva. And because Advaita Acharya is also an expansion of Lord Shiva, so his close associate Kuber appeared as his father. So then, having appeared there in Silhet, not much is known about his early days, his childhood and so on. But he grew up and he shifted to Shantipur. He also had another house in Mayapur, Navadvip. So he would be very concerned about the condition of people, how they were atheistic and materialistic and they were not serving Krishna. In Mayapur, he set up a Sanskrit school, a toll, and there he would engage deeply in the study of the scriptures, and he would also teach not just Sanskrit, but he would teach devotional service. He would establish from the scriptures that Krishna was the Supreme Lord and the object of all service for everyone. He continued on like this, and it is during this period that he petitioned the Lord to appear, the episode which I just described some while ago. It was in this phase, when he was teaching, that the great Saint Madhavendra Puri happened to come through Shantipur. At that time, Advaita Acharya was staying in his house in Shantipur. Madhavendra Puri had been ordered by the Lord in Govardhan to go and get sandalwood because he was feeling very hot. And we all know this pastime of how Madhavendra Puri came all the way from Vrindavan, came to Jagannath Puri, but on the way he passed through Shantipur. When he happened to come into Advaita's house, Advaita Acharya immediately recognized him to be his spiritual master. He said the kind of ecstatic symptoms of love for Krishna that this personality is exhibiting is unparalleled. And I want to accept this person as my guru. Advaita Acharya is a lord himself, but he still accepts a spiritual master, just to set the example for the people in general. So there was a very ecstatic exchange of affection, transcendental affection between the two. And Advaita Acharya actually got initiated by Madhavendra Puri. Even Madhavendra Puri's other disciple, famous disciple Ishwara Puri, who later on became the guru of Mahaprabhu, happened to come into Advaita Acharya's house many years later. Nobody recognized Ishwara Puri because he didn't advertise himself as a sannyasi or a great devotee. He came and sat in the courtyard of Advaita Acharya's house. And when Advaita Acharya saw him, he immediately understood again that here is an exalted devotee. And when they were introduced to each other, he understood, oh, this is the great Ishwara Puri, my godbrother. That's another reason actually why Mahaprabhu wanted to worship Advaita Acharya. Because he was like his spiritual master. He was his spiritual master's godbrother. Not only was he 50 years older in age, 52, something like that, but he was also the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. But of course, Advaita Acharya would never hear of it. He would always want to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Advaita Acharya was lecturing on Krishna consciousness in his school in Mayapur, he would shuttle between the two places, Shantipur and Mayapur. Jagannath Mishra's elder son, Nimai Pandit's older brother, Vishwaroop, would frequent those satsangs. And he would attentively hear the lectures of Advaita Acharya, wherein the Acharya spoke about the supremacy of devotional service to Krishna and about the futility of life in this material world. And he became very deeply involved, Vishwaroop. And Mother Sachi would send young Nimai, who was only a very small child at that time, with prasadam for Vishwaroop. And baby Nimai would come there to Advaita Acharya's house to give prasadam to his elder brother. And Advaita Acharya would look at this child and he would be struck with wonder to see this child's beauty and wonder about the child's identity. But he didn't understand that this child is the Supreme Lord himself, the same Lord whom he had petitioned to descend. Anyway, as time passed, Vishwaroop's heart became ignited with a sense of deep renunciation. And when he realized that his parents were looking out for a match in marriage for him, he quit home and went away as a sannyasi. Now, Shachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra were heartbroken. But somehow, because Nimai, the younger son, was still there, they could sustain their lives. But even then, Jagannath Mishra could not sustain his life. Shortly after Vishwaroop's departure from home, Jagannath Mishra also departed from this world. He left his body. But Shachi Mata was there. She somehow continued to live on because young Nimai was there. And then Nimai was married, his first marriage to Lakshmi Priya. And Nimai also started visiting the satsangs of Advaita Acharya. Now Shachi Mata started getting worried. She was thinking in her mind, she didn't speak about this to anyone, but only in her mind, she was thinking, oh, this Gosai, this Goswami, his name is Advaita. The word Advaita means one. One means that he should unite everyone. But he is doing the opposite. He is splitting us up. He is separating my family. He has already taken away my elder son. By hearing his lectures, my elder son left home and became a sannyasi. And all I have is my younger son, who is now married to Lakshmi Priya. And he is also regularly going and visiting Advaita Acharya and hearing his lectures, associating with him. He is also developing a sense of renunciation. What will happen if Nimai also leaves me? Oh, no one has mercy on me in this world. So actually, even though his name is Advaita, actually he is Dvaita. Because he is separating everyone. And the word Maya, Maya means one who separates, to see things in separation. So his name is actually Dvaita, not Advaita. So she was thinking all this in her intense affection for Nimai Pandit. But she didn't speak a word to anyone about this. So yes, attachment to one's sons or children is very, very strong. And even if one is a devotee, if one's son becomes a brahmachari, it can be very painful sometimes. So, Shachi Mata was thinking like this. Now, even though she didn't speak about this to anyone, her son, Mahaprabhu, who is a Supreme Lord, understood it because he is the Antaryami, the indwelling Lord in the heart of everyone. So many years later, when Nimai had begun manifesting his pastimes of devotion to Krishna, he was a transformed person now. He manifested his Mahaprakash Leela, Shat Prahariya, for 21 hours, for 7 Praharas. Each Prahara is 3 hours. So for 21 hours consecutively, Mahaprabhu sat on the throne of Vishnu and exhibited his form of divinity as a Supreme Lord. And to all his devotees, he benedicted them by fulfilling all their desires. He would call them and say, "What is your desire?" Someone would say, "Well, please give me, you know, please make my son a devotee." Someone said, "You know, I have this obstacle in my devotional life, please remove that." So Mahaprabhu was fulfilling all the desires of all his devotees. But there was one personality conspicuous by her absence in this gathering of devotees, and that was Sachi Mata. So somebody thought about it and said, "My dear Lord, your mother Sachi Devi is not here. So let us call her. You also please fulfill her desires." He said no. And they were shocked. "So why not?" "She is an offender." "Offender? Your mother?" "Yes, she is an offender. She has offended Advaitacharya. In her mind, she was thinking that Advaita Acharya is the cause of my older brother taking sannyas. And he is also the cause of taking me away from family life. So she has harbored some bad feeling about Advaita Acharya." So then some devotee went to Mother Sachi and told her, "This is what Nimai is saying." So immediately she came running. She was wondering, "How on earth did my son know that I was thinking like this? I never mentioned this to anyone. But anyway, there's something extraordinary here. But I must go." So she went to the gathering where the Mahaprakash Leela was going on. And then she came and fell in front of Advaita. And she said, "I must confess to you, O Gosai, that some years ago, I was thinking about you like this. I harbored some bad feelings about you." Now, Advaita Acharya, of course, was very humble. He's a great devotee of the Lord. So he was too embarrassed and ashamed to hear his worshipable personality, Mother Sachi, speaking like this. So he began to glorify Mother Sachi as the one in whose womb the Lord of all creation, the source of all the universes, had appeared. And he went on glorifying Mother Sachi in such a way that in ecstasy he lost external consciousness and fell to the ground. Sachi Mata was waiting for this opportunity. Very quickly, she gathered the dust from the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya and smeared it on her head and offered him obeisances. Because when he was in external consciousness, when she Advaita Acharya wouldn't allow her to offer obeisances. But now she could. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see this. And now Sachi Mata's offense was nullified. So Vrindavan Das Thakur and Kaviraj Goswami and other acharyas have explained the significance of this pastime. First of all, it shows us the dangers of Vaishnava Aparad. Even if you are the mother of the Supreme Lord, such an intimate associate of the Lord, if you offend Vaishnavas, then there will be an obstacle in the growth of your devotional service, and Krishna's mercy will be restricted. The second point we hear is that Advaita Acharya and Sachi Mata both took such a humble position. That is what a devotee should be. Sachi Mata didn't think, "But I am the mother of Nimai, I'm the mother of Krishna." Even if she understood that Nimai was Krishna, why should I go and offer my obeisances and beg forgiveness for someone who actually did take away my son anyway? She didn't think like that. She just took such a humble position and said, "Yes, actually I'm an offender. This Gosai is such an exalted Vaishnava and I thought ill about him." So in these pastimes there are many, many lessons to learn. Now, sometime before this pastime took place, Nimai had exhibited his symptoms as a devotee, but it was not quite clear to the devotees that he was also Krishna. So one time, Nimai, he decided to have a Vyasa Puja celebration for Nityananda, so that everyone could understand that Nitai was no other than Baladev or Balaram. And there was a grand celebration. And then Mahaprabhu or Nimai Pandit said, "Go and call Nara." He would sometimes call him by the nickname Nara. "That Nara is the cause of my coming down here. I was in peaceful slumber in the milk ocean. But this Nara, he petitioned me so loudly that I had to come here. And now he's sitting in Shantipur. So you call him here." So some devotee went to call Advaita Acharya from Mayapur to Shantipur and said, "The Lord is celebrating the Vyasa Puja of Nityananda and he wants you to come there quickly. And he's manifesting his own divinity." So Advaita Acharya realized, so now is the moment I have been waiting for. He has revealed himself. He has revealed himself as the absolute truth. And so he happily told his wife, Sita Thakurani. They gathered all kinds of auspicious ingredients and they began to rush towards Mayapur. But then Advaita Acharya told Ramai Pandit, who was a messenger, he said, "But wait, I will test Mahaprabhu. I will not come straight to the place where the Vyasa Puja of Nityananda is going on. I will hide in the house of Nandanacharya. And if he's truly the Supreme Lord, let him understand that I'm hiding here." So then he did go there. And very shortly Mahaprabhu announced, "Advaita Acharya is in the house of Nandanacharya, call him." And then somebody went to call him and Advaita Acharya was greatly pleased. He came there and he offered all these auspicious substances at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And he also glorified him with the verse, "Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha," which is a verse glorifying Krishna. And then Mahaprabhu was also very pleased. Despite all the happiness of the association of Mahaprabhu, Advaita Acharya was unhappy for one reason. And that is that Mahaprabhu would always consider him a superior. And in his heart, he was thinking, "I want Mahaprabhu to accept me as his servant. But this is a big problem because I'm older in age, because I am the disciple of his grand spiritual master. He considers me his superior. So I must think of some ploy, some ruse by which Mahaprabhu will accept me as his servant. I should do something which is so outrageous that Mahaprabhu will heavily chastise me." And you don't chastise a superior, you only chastise a subordinate. "So when he chastises me, it will be evidence that he has accepted me as his servant." So then in Shantipur, deliberately, Advaita Acharya began to conduct public lectures on the Yoga Vasishtha, which is a scripture that has many impersonalistic ideas. And he began to glorify Mayavad in his lectures. And naturally, word spread quickly and reached the ears of Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu became so enraged. He said, "That Nara, he is speaking Mayavad philosophy. I will teach him the lesson of his life. Who does he think he is?" So he rushed to Shantipur. And he actually physically thrashed Advaita Acharya. "So you dare speak Mayavad philosophy? You are denying the personality of Godhead? You are decrying the supremacy of the process of bhakti?" And Advaita Acharya's wife was in great anxiety. "He's an old man, don't beat him. He may die." He said, "No, he's an offender." But even though Advaita Acharya's wife was in anxiety, Advaita Acharya was in ecstasy. "My life is successful, my life is successful." Then Mahaprabhu understood that this was a trick. Externally, he became very embarrassed that he was tricked like this, and he actually had to physically beat someone who was his worshipable superior. But internally, he was very pleased. So in this way, the devotees of the Lord are actually more intelligent than the Lord. They know how to get the Lord's mercy. So Advaita Acharya was now satisfied. Okay, my mission has been accomplished. I have succeeded in getting Mahaprabhu to accept me as his servant. In this way, Advaita Acharya remained in Navadvip and sometimes in Shantipur. He was a very, very important participant in the Lord's pastimes, a very important agent of the Lord in distributing his mercy, the gift of Krishna Prem to one and all. There are many, many pastimes about Advaita Acharya, of course, but we don't have the time because, of course, there's no prasadam today till noon, fasting till noon, but nevertheless, we will stop here. There are many, the information about Advaita Acharya is given in books like the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, in the Bhakti Ratnakar, and in some other books. Even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has composed many songs and poems glorifying Advaita Acharya. So today being his appearance day, we can all pray at his lotus feet to bless us and accept us as a servant of his servant. As we have said before, by his mercy, we can get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Then we can get the strength and the ability to get the mercy of Radha and Krishna. Srila Advaita Acharya ki jai. Srila Advaita Acharya appearance day celebrations ki jai. Hare Krishna.